Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 6 in the NFL. I am Jimmy Trina, joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Gary Gramling and Mitch Goldich. I say Week 6, but the schedule's a mess, but we have a somewhat a semblance of a normal week this week, except for the two Monday night games, which we'll get into. Before we get into Week 6, let's just quickly review Week 5. I know I went 3-3. And I was bummed because I, on the podcast, talking about how the Browns were my best bet lock, and then I threw in five other games, which I shouldn't have done. So I ended up 3-3. Too many games. That should be the lesson there. Mitch, how'd you do?
Well, we were all 500. It was a 500 week for all of us. You were 3-3. Gary was 2-2. I was 2-2. So our collective winning percentage on the season took a little bit of a hit. We are down to 39-29 and a push. So, 500 week, it's like running out the clock. We're 10 games over 500. Let's just get to the end of the season, right? That now we probably don't feel that way.
Mitch gave a spoiler, so I don't have to ask you, Gary, what your record was. I guess you were 2-2.
2-2. Yeah, you got me on Browns Colts. I'm stepping away from the totals again because I was so confident in that Giants Cowboys going under. I was like, what? Those turnovers are going to dry up. I mean, what are we going to do? Have like a bunch of defensive touchdowns? And sure enough, you get two defensive touchdowns in like the first 20 minutes of that game. And I just wanted to just smash my skull through my TV.
And then and then you had the Andy Dalton one late where he fumbled and they ran it in.
Yep.
All right. So we'll try to get back on the winning track and get over 500 here in Week 6. And we're going to kick it off right now. First game up. I mentioned the Browns that went against the Colts. They are going into Pittsburgh. The Steelers are a 3.5-point favorite. The total is 51. Gary.
Yeah, I want to fade the Browns, but I also don't love the Steelers. So I'll back off this one. I'll lean Steelers. The reason I've been down on the Browns, I sort of mentioned it last week, and they did get a couple of turnovers against the Colts. They also forced a safety. Myles Garrett is just dominating right now. He's also, you know, he's gotten back-to-back weeks against backup left tackles. And then, before that, he was sort of feasting on Washington and Cincinnati. They can't block anyone, no matter who's in the lineup. So those takeaways are going to dry up for Cleveland. They've had 11 over this four-game winning streak. I just don't think it's sustainable. So I lean Steelers. I'm not quite buying Baker right now. Baker's not playing particularly well, even with the offensive line performing well and really good weapons there. He's fine, but he's a little too erratic for the fact that everything is working in his favor right now. So give me a Steelers lean.
Mitch?
Yeah, so first, I'm going to just back up a second. And Jimmy, at the top, you said we have some semblance of a normal week. And I don't know where you're getting that from, because I have no idea what day it is today. We had football on Tuesday night. They canceled Thursday night. We are taping a day earlier than usual, just to let people see how the sausage is made. It's currently Wednesday. And part of the reason I'm saying that is that I think one of the stories this week is going to be Baker Mayfield's health. And so, sore ribs, everyone expects him to play, but I would like to hear a little bit about, how he looks at practice and if he's going to be okay, because I think that is going to be one of the stories coming into this week's game. We're upping the degree of difficulty on ourselves for this podcast, just taping a day earlier than we normally would. But it's also a little funny. I think I'm higher on the Steelers than Gary is, and probably have been for much of the season, I think. And Gary says he'd like to fade the Browns, and he doesn't like the Steelers, but he's going to pick the Steelers. And here I am on the other side, and I actually kind of like the Browns here. Again, assuming that we hear good things about Baker this week. Otherwise, they'd be going to Case Keenum, but I think we all expect Baker Mayfield's going to be out there. I like the Browns. We've talked it to death about how last season everyone expected them to be good and they fell so far of expectations, probably the most disappointing team in the league last year. And so they were due for some kind of a bounce back, and I think we've seen it, and they are now, they're a good team, and they didn't take the rocket ship up to the top of the standings like people expected last year, but they are a good team, and I think they're clearly a playoff contender. I mean, they're 4-1. And at this point, it looks like they're going to get in. I like them to win a couple tough games this year still. And here they're getting 3.5. I think it would be a different story if you know, if the spread, if it was under a field goal here. But getting 3.5 in a division game, and I know tensions are going to be high, and you know, Myles Garrett, after the situation he had in the Steelers game last year and his first game against them since that big, I don't know if brawl is the right word, it was swinging a helmet at people. But anyway, you know, division game, I could easily see this coming down to a field goal at the end either way, and I think I'm going to pick the Steelers to win the game outright, but I like the Browns here getting 3.5 points.
I love the Steelers here. I think the Browns are good. I think they missed Nick Chubb a little bit last week, and if you watched the game last week, I loved Cleveland. They won that game because Phillip Rivers is completely inept and should not be playing. Now they're going to go against Roethlisberger with all his weapons. I think this is an easy Steelers win and cover here based on what I've seen from the Browns. You know, they're going on the road. The Steelers are rolling. I don't see anything here that makes me think the Steelers don't win this by, you know, 10 or more points. So that's that one you'll be hearing from me later on. Next game is in Indy. Speaking of the Colts
and
Rivers, who should, they're somehow giving 8 points to the Bengals. I understand the Bengals are going to get Joe Burrow killed one of these days, but the Colts are 8-point favorites at home against the Bengals. The total is 47, Mitch.
Yeah, here we have two teams coming off very disappointing weeks. And I don't know, if we try and debate which of these teams had a more disappointing week, maybe it would be close. You know, this time a week ago, I felt pretty good about the Bengals, but obviously that offensive line is a problem. Now DJ Reader is out on the other side of the ball. Then there's the Colts, and you guys know I've been down on the Colts. Jimmy, you know, laying the groundwork so nicely for me to crush the Colts here, talking about Phillip Rivers and calling him inept. But I mean, yeah, I it's a problem, that side of the ball, for sure. But then you look at their defense, and they're very good. So my pick here is actually under 47. And I just think this is going to be an ugly, really low-scoring game. The you know, the Bengals, talking about Joe Burrow getting killed, I mean, they can't protect him. He's taking all kinds of hits. And the Colts are going to struggle scoring points. Now, here's another situation where maybe you worry about defensive touchdowns and turnovers giving people a short field, but I'm picturing a sloppy, ugly game. I don't really want any part of this 8-point spread here, but I feel pretty good about under 47.
Gary.
I do like the Colts here, and look, the Phillip Rivers thing, all season it's going to be, do they protect him? Is that all-world line healthy? The issue last week was Anthony Costanzo, the left tackle, was out. They didn't have a solution there. If Phillip Rivers gets under any pressure whatsoever, he just, I don't know if it's an implosion, an explosion, just he completely folds. I mean, it's a disaster. So Costanzo is back at practice. He is expected to play this week, and I would expect that the Colts have a nice bounce back offensively against the Bengals defense that just isn't very good. And then obviously, you know, Colts front four against Bengals front five is a pretty good mismatch up there for the Colts. But the Rivers, boy, I mean, you're right, Jimmy. He was a disaster last week. Yeah. I mean, that was, if you were starting like a flag football team, Phillip Rivers might be your guy, but I don't know how you can play tackle football when you react like that under pressure.
I want to pick the Bengals, but the Colt defense is good. And, you know, I hate to say this because I love the kid and I love watching play. Joe Burrow is going to get injured. They're going to get him injured badly this year. It's a problem because he is running for his life on every play. So I think the Colts are going to get to him. Probably a low scoring game here. If the under would be my lean if I had to go anywhere in this one. The next game is a complete pig. The Giants are giving 2.5 points at home to the Washington football team. The total is 43. Somehow, though, one of you guys likes this game a lot. So let's start with Gary and hear the hear the explanation.
I got to say, the first thing I do before I even look at the lines, I look at a lot of the trends and the betting systems and see if there's anything that sort of jumps out to me. And I was like, ooh, you know, that Giant, I always bet against the Giants at home. They're 3-14 against the spread at home since 2018.
That is an unbelievable stat.
And then I was going through, I was like, oh, and here's Washington. They're 1-9 coming off a double-digit point loss since the beginning of last year. That's 1-9 against the spread, I should say, not just 1-9 straight up. I mean, I go Washington just because how can either of these teams be giving points at this point? But look, we saw football team's offense last week, and whatever you think about Dwayne Haskins, and I'm not a big Dwayne Haskins guy, I would lean towards he's probably not the long-term solution there. How you can pull Dwayne Haskins and put those two quarterbacks on the field and have that performance and then like look your team in the eye the next day. I mean, they were it was a level of offense that you'd have to be trying to be that bad in 2020 with all the, you know, everything sort of working the offense's favor. So that's it. I can't talk about this game anymore. I lean Washington because they're getting points.
Mitch?
Yeah, so it's an issue of terminology and nomenclature here when we put together the order of the games on the podcast. Just because one of these teams is a best bet for me does not mean that I love the game or even that I'm excited to talk about it.
You love the bet, though.
I like the bet. I'm picking the Giants here. God bless the NFC East. How can you not just love it? You got an 0-5 team that's favored here in week 6. Love this division. Listen, I have said all along, I think Washington is overrated. Because, not that they're rated highly, but I think coming off of that week 1 win when their defensive line just wrecked the Eagles' backups, that was an impressive game for them. And everyone wanted to talk about Dwayne Haskins coming out of that game. Since then, they're losing every week by double digits. And I actually think the Giants are a little bit underrated. We've actually seen them kind of hang with some teams and some a better, tougher schedule than Washington has played. And, you know, they've made some games close-ish. I just think that, you know, Washington coming back to Kyle Allen, I just have no confidence in them. And I just look at this game and I say the Giants are going to win this game and they're going to get their first win of the season. And it just seems pretty clear to me. And so I know that they're giving up 2.5 at home. But just looking at these teams and where they're going to be at the end of the season, I just think people are still somehow, even just only giving up 2.5 is still too high on Washington. They are very bad. And I think the Giants are going to win here. And I'm making it a best bet. Why not? Live a little. NFC East.
I mean, I would absolutely lean Giants. I just will not put my money on them. They're giving less than a field goal at home. They are the better team. And the one thing that concerns me, though, is maybe a little bit of a letdown after a brutal loss in Dallas. But if the Giants don't win and cover this week, when will they ever? All right, next game.
Look at the Giants' schedule, by the way. The next 5 weeks, they have both games against Washington and both games against the Eagles. I don't want to get carried away, but if they want to get back in the division race, I mean, they could be like 3-7 at Thanksgiving. I don't know. Let's move on to the next game.
And the next game is another game that I will not watch. 1 second of the Lions giving a field goal and a half in Jacksonville, total 54.5. Mitch.
Whew, throwing to me. I didn't pick this one for the A block of the show. Now, I think I lean Lions. I'm not really happy about it. I don't have a ton to say about either of these teams. But I, you know, the Lions have to win at some point. Maybe he picked this one. Gary, I think, has been higher on the Lions all season and dating back to the preseason than I have been. But I just think, you know, I expect them to win some games. Like, I don't think that they're a 4-12 team, so they're going to pick up wins along the way against teams like this. So not a best bet for me, but I lean Jaguars, and I will cede the floor to Gary.
Gary, we know you're one of America's biggest Lions fans. Lay it on us.
I was going to say, Mitch, you said I'm higher than them than most this season. I would say I'm higher than them the most going back to like the beginning of the millennium at this point.
Yeah,
I like the Lions. And look, I'm Matthew Stafford has shown some signs of decline this year. I think his window is shutting, but I think the Jaguars are just in that lower class of bad. I think the Lions are that, you know, 6-10 bad, whereas the Jaguars are like that 2-14 bad. And if Phillip Rivers didn't give him a couple gifts in the opener, we would be, you know, lumping them in with the Jets and with the Giants and whoever else you don't like around the league. So this is an opportunity for Matt Patricia's defense to actually stop a team every once in a while and get off the field. As a lot of you know, Patricia comes from the Belichick tree, same philosophy. Brian Flores, Belichick tree, same philosophy. And we saw the Jaguars just did nothing against Miami on that Thursday nighter earlier this year. So I do think there's a chance for the Lions to actually give up, like, you know, fewer than 40 points, maybe even like 20 points, and win this one with some level of relative ease.
I have no feel for this game. I would expect the Lions to win. I'd expect the Lions to cover, but the Jaguars are such a weird team that I stay away from their game, so I don't have much to say about this one. I do have something to say about the next game, though. The Titans are giving a field goal at home to the Houston Texans. Big total here, 54. Gary.
Oh, and I want to hear you first, Jimmy.
I just, listen, I know what everyone's going to say. Short week. Don't get wrapped up in, you know, that much in beating the Bills, but the Texans are not good. They had their, you know, we fired Bill O'Brien celebratory win, and now it's going to be back to reality. I don't see the Texans defense stopping the Titans offense at all, and you're only laying a field goal. That the line makes me nervous and makes me think there's something going on here. I don't know what the reasoning should be for such a low line, but Tennessee is way better than the Texans. And I understand they won last week, the Texans, but like I said, I think that was a one-week thing that was going to happen. I picked them as a best bet last week, and I was right. But I don't see the Titans getting slowed down by a very weak Texans defense. They had trouble stopping Jacksonville last week, so that's my thoughts on that. Gary?
Yeah, I think it is the short week, and I think it's the fact that I think a lot of people want to like the Texans because we know it was a tough early season schedule, and everyone's sort of expecting the bounce back. And obviously, when you have Deshaun Watson, you've always got a chance at this point. I'd probably stay away from this one, but I'd lean Titans because I do think they are the better overall team. I think it's going to be sort of a reminder that the Texans are just—they're not very good at receiver with DeAndre Hopkins gone. So last week they moved the ball against the Jaguars team that was basically playing their practice squad in the secondary because of other injuries. And this week I just don't think it happens the same. Plus the Titans, they didn't have any big injuries on Tuesday night that they suffered, and they get some guys back from the COVID list. So yeah, you know, I think it's short week, but you're kind of fairly well rested at this point.
Right, I was going to say, how is the short week such a factor when they didn't play for so long? And I mean, they say short week. Well, they play Monday night games. Okay, so they play Tuesday night. It's not like, I don't know. I think that's overrated. Mitch?
Yeah, I think I feel similarly to both of you guys, but maybe not quite as strong as Jimmy. I think I've said this for a while. I think I am higher on the Texans than both of you. I appreciate Gary pointing out their tough schedule the first 3 weeks, which everyone knows. And you know, I think they are somewhere in between the team we saw the first 3 weeks and, you know, this idea of like a rampaging comeback team. I think they are going to end up, we'll look back and the season may seem mildly disappointing, but not a total disaster. I don't know where that level is exactly, but I think they're going to win some games. But the Titans, they were impressive on Tuesday. Jimmy, did you say like just the Bills? Like, I don't want to dismiss the Bills too much. Like, that's you know, that they were undefeated going into that game, and I thought the Titans looked awesome on Tuesday night. I was also surprised this line was only 3, and it wouldn't surprise me if part of that's because they just played Tuesday. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all if this line actually goes up a little bit during the week, and if it closes at you know, 4, 4.5 maybe, which would give me a little more pause. But at -3, I like the Titans here. I think you know, I think they've been really good, and after what we saw from them, you know, people are talking about it like they're battling adversity and whatever, and some of that is like totally overblown and probably shouldn't be a conversation we're having. But you know, seeing that they were able to put together a win after a hectic couple of weeks ought to give you some, you know, I don't want to turn that into like a personality trait, but it ought to give you some confidence that they can succeed in a situation that maybe isn't ideal. So I don't worry too much about the short week. I think they ought to be able to win this game, and I definitely like them to cover.
Yeah, I think I said they just beat the Bills, meaning last night in terms of
time. Oh, I see. Like just the Bills. Like right, they just, right. Oh, sure.
The other factor, too, is the Titans are somehow like, you know, ridiculously using this, like people made fun of us for getting COVID rallying cry to like be a motivational factor, too. So I don't know. Yeah. They've got whatever. All right. Next game is this is one of the scheduling quirks here. We've got the Patriots at home giving 9.5 to the Broncos. The total is 46.5. I assume Cam Newton starts in this one. They've been quiet about that. Mitch?
Yeah, talk about layoffs. I feel like we haven't seen the Broncos play in ages. Weren't they were on Thursday Night Football against the Jets like 2 weeks ago. It's how long has it been since we've seen them? Yeah, I mean, I have questions about the Patriots. I'm with you. I assume Cam Newton's going to play. I haven't heard much about his symptoms. Like, I hope that he's okay. You know, I think we've seen different things from different players, and not just football, but following the baseball season. Like, some guys really struggled with it and came back, you know, sluggish and struggling, whatever. I would hope that Cam Newton is 100%, but we don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in necessarily. Stephon Gilmore is the other one, and I'm not sure if he's going to be back. This game is, you know, I don't know. I guess I lean. Meanwhile, the Broncos, Melvin Gordon just had a DUI late Tuesday night, and we don't know what his status is going to be. Not that he's as important to the Broncos as Cam or Gilmore are to the Patriots, but it still is a factor. The Broncos, they've had so many injuries this year. I think we all assume Drew Lock is going to play. All this to say, it's a total stay away from me. I mean, listing all of these big question marks. If you made me pick something, I would lean the Broncos, I think, just given that the line is this high at 9.5, but I'm not going to touch this one.
Gary.
Yeah, I'd lean Broncos here just because it is such a big number. And look, the Patriots can go out and, when Brian Hoyer is in the lineup, but when Cam is in the lineup, they can go out there and score 30, 35 points if they have to. I don't think they want to. I don't think that's going to be their identity on a week-to-week basis. So, I think this is a game where they hang in the mid-20s and get the Broncos sort of maybe put a little backdoor cover on it, 24-17 type of loss here. But I don't think the score goes high enough for the Patriots to win this one by double digits.
I want to best bet the Patriots if I knew the Cam Newton status for sure, because I just think Belichick, with all this time to prepare for the Broncos, Drew Lock coming back off an injury, I don't see the Broncos. So it's sort of piggybacking a little bit off of what you said, Gary. I don't see the Broncos getting to 13 points here. So it's a matter of what New England can do on offense. I don't know how we play this, but I'll say it's a stay away. But if it was a Cam Newton game, I'd best bet it. If it's Hoyer, I'd stay away. That's how I would do that. All right, next game, best game of the Sunday, 4:25 on Fox. 2 4 o'clock games this week. You have a choice. You can either watch the Jets Dolphins or the Packers Bucks. So tough decision coming for you on Sunday. The Packers go into Tampa Bay, giving 2.5 points to Tom Brady. Total 54. Gary.
Yeah, I like the Bucks. I honestly think the Bucks are the most complete team in the NFC. Assuming they get their weapons back here, if they have a healthy Chris Godwin back in the lineup and they can sort of function fully offensively. I know they lost Vita Vea, and that Vita Vea was the key to that sort of league best run defense they had, but they're still going to be good up front. They're still good defending the pass. I think having the extra preparation, I mean, both teams have extra preparation, but having the extra preparation of being able to prepare for a Packers offense that does look different this year. I mean, no matter what people want to say, it is not what they obviously did under Mike McCarthy, and Rodgers has he's running a full-on LaFleur offense this year, and it's really good. It's really good offense. That's why they score points, and Aaron Rodgers is still really good, but they did, I think, catch some opponents by surprise a little bit. So I kind of like Tampa to win this outright. But probably not enough to actually make this a best bet or anything like that. But I got a Bucks lean here.
Mitch?
Gary, tell the people where you had Tampa ranked in the power rankings this week.
they were originally one until Thursday night. And by the way, that Thursday night game is garbage. It's garbage every week anyway. But sending the Bucks out there on a short week with all their injury problems, and the Bears get to play back-to-back home games, because that's always it's a huge edge to play that game at home anyway, but to get to play it at home coming off a home game is an unfair advantage. And then obviously the game was garbage. The officials were overmatched, I would describe that officiating crew as.
Gary, you've been watching the presidential, vice presidential debates. You didn't answer my question. They lost to the Bears on Thursday night. Where did you have them in the power rankings? Give us a number.
I don't know. They were up there. What did I have them? Three? Because I had Packers 1, Chiefs 2.
Yeah, I think you had them 3. You had the Packers 1 and the Bucks 3. I disagree with you on this game. This is the easiest pick on the board for me. I love Green Bay here. I think they are the better team. Just looking at these two teams, what we've seen, I like Green Bay. I mean, look, so the line's 2.5. So if this game was played on a neutral field, I don't know, would it be a pick'em or Packers favored by 0.5? I don't know. This line to me feels like the Packers ought to be favored by 4.5 points, enough to make me think about it. I think the line under a field goal, I like Green Bay to win. Anything under a field goal, I'm happy to pick 'em. I know they're going on the road. They're coming off of a bye week. I just think the Packers are the better team. Them and the Seahawks right now in the NFC, I would put a tier above Tampa, even though I know you love them. I'm going best bet on Green Bay here.
I got a strong lean here, but it's not on the side. I love the over in this game. You know, the Buck defense, which everyone thinks is great, has still given up significant points to the Chargers. They lose to the Bears last week, and now, like Gary said, they're without that big guy right in the middle. So I think I have no belief at all that the Bucks are going to slow down Aaron Rodgers, who I know everyone's going crazy about Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers is playing just as good, just so people know, or just as well. So I see a lot of points in this game. I don't know. I'd like to see the Bucks try to get Gronk involved here. When you're betting these overs, you want them throwing a Gronk, but he's sort of been MIA. But I do like the over 54 in that game a lot. Another game coming up is the Rams giving 3.5 points to the Niners. The total here is 51. The Niners have just completely gone in the tank. Mitch, what do you got?
Yeah, they have. And I like the Rams now. I've been really impressed by them all season. And I was a little bit down on them coming into the year. And now I feel like I'm all the way in. They only lost one game, and it was that wild game against the Bills when they actually came back from 28-3. And they, even though they ended up losing at the end, they looked very good for flashes of the game. And the Niners are just a total mess right now. Jimmy G got benched at halftime last week. And I know that's not strictly performance. A lot of it was performance because of an injury, and that was part of the reason he wasn't playing very well. But, you know, that only gives me questions about this week. You know, how healthy is he going to be? How's he going to look? It certainly adds to the questions. It seems like the Niners were starting to get a little bit healthier before they go into this really brutal stretch in their schedule, but then they lose to the Eagles. They get blown out by the Dolphins. I don't see how you can pick them right now against a really good team here. And I like the Rams here, certainly. But what's the spread? 3.5? Yeah, 3.5. I definitely like the Rams.
Gary?
Yeah, I like the Rams, and I'll best bet the Rams. The only thing that gave me a little bit of hesitance is Kyle Shanahan can coach. And, division rivals, does he come up with something to keep the Niners in this one? They just even if you want to say, like, okay, I think Garoppolo's going to bounce back and have a normal week, or I think C.J. Beathard is the second coming and the 49ers are going to be fine offensively, the pass rush is gone. And the pass rush is what fueled this defense last year. Without that pass rush, they're just kind of a, meh. Some weeks they'll be pretty good, but this is like a B-, C-plus type of defense most weeks. And we saw last year they destroyed the Rams in L.A. early in the season because the Rams couldn't block them. Rams went out there the second time in Santa Clara. They solved some things. They came up with a way to move the ball. That was a game where Taylor Rapp, then a rookie, blew the coverage at the end of the game, and the 49ers sealed it. It was like a 34-31 type of game. But I see no reason to think that the 49ers can really hang with the Rams at this point.
Yeah, make it 3-for-3. I like the Rams too. Here's the problem with the Niners is, like, sometimes a team is struggling on defense. Sometimes they're struggling on offense. They're struggling on both. They have a lot to fix. Clearly, Nick Bosa not being there is a huge factor for them. They pulled Garoppolo. Who knows if he's even healthy at this point? If he is, he's got a lot of rust, obviously. It's hard to imagine how the Rams don't win this game. If the Niners pull this out, Kyle Shanahan's a miracle worker, because they are a mess everywhere. For the Niners. So I like the Rams as well, -3.5. Last game before we get to our lightning round, the Chiefs go into Buffalo as 3.5-point favorites. Biggest total of the week here, 57. Gary.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from this one. But, look, both these teams have some issues here. When the Chiefs struggled offensively around this time last year in October, when they sort of got de-pantsed by the Colts and they were sort of not quite what they were in the second half of the year, it was because they had a bunch of injuries on the offensive line. They don't have injuries on the offensive line really at this point. The tackles are healthy. They're just not playing well. And when we saw the Chargers do it to them, it was kind of like, well, yeah, but the Chargers have Bosa and Ingram, and, that's going to happen sometimes. The Raiders don't have Bosa and Ingram. The Raiders just have a bunch of dudes. I mean, Raiders have like four of us plus Shelby. You can throw him in there, and they were getting to Mahomes, so that's worrisome. By the same token, the Bills, look, I'm fine with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's gonna be fine going forward. He's gonna have his occasional dud because he's just a streaky quarterback at this point in his career, but defensively the Bills have really slid back, and a lot of people were pointing out, like, oh, the Titans, they had so many short fields and touchdown drives on short fields. Yeah, they move the ball on long fields, too. The Bills really struggled to get off the field in that game. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that unit right now. Obviously, the Trey White was out, and that's one worth watching because if Josh Norman is your number one corner in 2020, you've got some issues. But that's my long way of saying I really don't quite trust either team enough at this point.
Yeah, what I couldn't believe is the lack of pass rush for the Bills. They didn't get near Tannehill all night, Mitch.
No.
Yeah, and that's disappointing. I mean, they've been good. I don't, when I just the Bills gate is not going to turn into a thing. A week ago these teams were both undefeated. Now they're both looking for bounce backs. I'm going to keep picking the Chiefs. I do it every week. I mean, you're totally right to point out the concerns coming out of that Raiders game. And even earlier in the season, we saw it. The Chargers took them to overtime. So we've known that they haven't been perfect this year, like they have been at times in this Mahomes era. But there's just, and the Chiefs are favored by less than a touchdown. There's like a small group of teams that I'm not going to pick them against. And the Bills are not in that group. I just think the Chiefs are so talented that if you think they're going to win, you've got to think they're going to be able to get out in front of teams by a good amount, win by a touchdown. And I know that's a totally simplistic way of looking at things, but I just look at the Kansas City Chiefs and I expect them to beat most teams in the league by at least 4 points. And so a spread of 3.5 here, despite all the issues you've mentioned, it's still the Chiefs. It's still Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, that team. A week to figure out some of the things that went wrong against the Raiders and try and fix them. So I feel pretty good about picking the Chiefs here.
Yeah, I lean Chiefs. For me, this game is very simple. Don't jump off the Chief bandwagon because of one loss. They weren't going to go undefeated. It was a bad loss from a defensive standpoint, but now you can get them only giving 3.5. I don't think you can just abandon them yet. But so my lean there would be Chiefs. All right. We now have 5 games to roll through quickly that we don't love, but we'll just touch on really quickly here in our lightning round.
Whoa, that's new.
Very scary.
I hope nobody was listening to this podcast while riding a bike. That could have been a problem. I hope everyone's falling. That was very startling, wasn't it? I don't know.
Before we get to the games, because you said this pre-show too, you're very worried about people on bikes.
No,
and the sound effects on our show.
It's a bad time to be startled. I would think. I don't know. I don't ride a bike. I have no idea.
The bike lobby has gotten to you.
Oh.
The bike lobby's gotten to Mitch.
The horn is better.
Oh, man.
The horn is better than the lightning, that's for sure.
Lightning round. This is great. Don't look behind you. Just keep riding straight ahead.
Shelby's just matching the keypad now. Thank you, Shelby. Shelby Royston, our producer, by the way, and he's awesome.
All right.
We did the lightning round. The idea was to speed the podcast up, and now we've got a musical interlude instead.
These are the dog games, so it makes sense to play that. Let's get to them. The Ravens are giving 7.5 points in Philly to the Eagles. The total here is 47.5, Mitch.
Yeah, my first instinct is that this line looks totally right, which is why I was not excited to pick on either side. We know, we've talked about the Eagles all season. They did definitely look better against Pittsburgh, but they didn't look well enough that I expect them to win or keep this particularly close to the Ravens. I do expect them to lose. And just looking at these two teams, I'm just not excited about picking either side right now. I think the Ravens are going to win, but not necessarily by more than a touchdown, so it's a stay away for me.
Gary, anything to say?
I was going to say, Wentz is back. The Eagles are going to be fine going forward, and I was all set to go big on them this week, and then I saw it was the Ravens, and I was like, I'll give it one more week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would bet the over in this game. Again, like Gary said, Wentz is back. Even though they have no receivers, they seem to be able to throw the ball, and the Ravens, I think, will score at will here, so I would go over the 47.5.
Well, they do have one receiver. Don't dismiss Travis Fulgham.
Exactly.
They have a receiver.
Next game, the Panthers. 3 wins in a row.
Lightning round.
Host the Bears. The Panthers are somehow only giving 2.5 points at home to the Bears. The total here is 45.5, Gary.
No, I keep looking at the Panthers. And I'm like, they can't keep beating teams, can they? This is like a Alliance of American Football roster they're running out there, and they just keep on winning. So I'm down on the Bears, and I would lean Panthers, but I don't know. I'm too much of a wuss to actually go Panthers here.
Mitch?
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I feel bad picking against the Panthers every week, but you're right. I expect the fall to come at some point. The Bears, you know, they're finding ways to win games ugly, and they don't look great doing it, but I feel more comfortable with them having Foles in there than Trubisky, and so I lean Bears here, but not super excited about it.
I lean Panthers at home, given less than a field goal. I don't trust Nick Foles and the Bears at all, but I don't like it enough to put my money on it. Next game... Speaking of terrible teams, the Falcons going to Minnesota. Quinn is gone. You have like a gunshot because Dan Quinn got fired. So if you have a gunshot, no. You play that.
It's not like the Hunger Games. Like
he's been
gone.
Blown out of there.
You're fired.
The Vikings are. Oh, there you go. Play that again.
You're fired.
Exactly. Goodbye, Dan Quinn. The Vikings are giving 3.5 points to the Falcons. The total is 54.5. Mitch.
Oh, well, I've totally lost. What were we talking about? I don't know. I mean, are the Falcons going to play hard for Raheem Morris? I would think so. It's a different situation than the Texans after Bill O'Brien was fired, where I think they were elated and excited to, play under Romeo and just be rid of Bill O'Brien. I think the Falcons did like Dan Quinn, and we saw them play hard for him at the end of last season. I don't know. I don't want to pick the Falcons. That's a scary idea this year. I think that I lean Vikings, but this is one of those games I think just sit back and there's going to be turnovers and points, and some games are like ugly sloppy and some games are beautiful sloppy, and I think this could just be a fun wacky one that we look back on Sunday and it's like, what the heck kind of game was that? And I think the Vikings can win a game like that here.
Gary?
Yeah, I kind of like the under if I wasn't stepping away from totals for a week. If I actually bet the over, this game will open with like 3 consecutive kickoff return touchdowns. But I guess I could also see Minnesota. I mean, the Vikings receivers are so much better than the Falcons' defensive backs. If Mike Zimmer lets loose here, I mean, the Vikings could put up 35, 40 points in this game. But I'll just stay away altogether.
Yeah, I don't really... I don't like to bet. I bet the Texans last week when O'Brien was gone. I don't know if the Falcons are going to sort of have that win here in Atlanta as sort of a, you know, he was horrible, we hated him kind of thing. So I'm going to stay away from this one. Again, like I said earlier, if you want to pass on watching Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, you have the Jets and Dolphins with Miami as 9.5-point favorites. Total here is 48. Gary.
I do like the Dolphins in this one. I won't best bet it just because, I don't know, is this game going to be, when's Ryan Fitzpatrick going to collapse, I guess is what I'm waiting for. I don't know, you got to like the Dolphins have 2 pretty good receivers. The Jets have no one at cornerback who can cover another human being. maybe I should have best bet the Dolphins here, but I'll back off. I'll just say I really like the Dolphins.
Mitch?
Joe Flacco is playing. I don't know. Is this going to be like the post Le'Veon Bell revenge tour? Is Adam Gase going to just try and like scheme things up for his running backs to have a huge day and try and prove that no, it was Le'Veon's fault, not my genius system? I don't know. Even if he wanted to do that, would he be able to? Probably not. I mean, my gut says lean Dolphins, but this is just so gross. Who's betting on this game? I can't imagine that.
I think you'll see the Dolphins in a lot of teasers. That's all I would say about that, because they'll win. 9.5 is high, so it's a good teaser game. Last game of the week, it's the second Monday night game. It's the what's supposed to be. It is the Cardinals going in. Who would have ever thought the Cardinals would go into Dallas and be favorites? But they are 2.5-point favorites, and the total here is 54.5, obviously, and the Dalton in for Dak Prescott. Mitch.
I'm like weirdly scared of the Cowboys with Andy Dalton. Like Dak has been so good, and I don't want to minimize, what he's capable of and what he's done. But like the problem with Dallas has been the defense is awful, and part of me just thinks Andy Dalton can step in and be successful enough that they can win a couple games, but I don't know. Arizona, you know, I don't think we learned much about them last week, you know, beating the Jets, who stink. You know, I think they're Arizona's a pretty good team who we know can beat up bad teams and can sometimes beat good teams, but I still put them kind of a cut below those top teams in the NFC. I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've got to see a little bit more from Andy Dalton before I really decide what I think of them and before I actually would put a best bet. But I don't know. CeeDee Lamb is great. I mean, and he made a couple throws to Gallup at the end of the game. Like, I think he's going to be able to step in there. I will just say that Cowboys backup quarterback right now, can either of you guys name him? Do you know who this is?
No.
If I had to guess, I'd say, is Cooper Rush still there?
No, the backup is Ben DiNucci, a seventh-round pick out of James Madison. I don't know. What are the odds we're going to see Ben DiNucci playing on Monday Night Football? Hopefully we don't. I'm pulling for Andy Dalton as much as we can. Boy, I don't know. I think I lean Cowboys, and I think I kind of lean the over looking at these two teams, but I don't want to bet on an Andy Dalton game on Monday night here. Come on.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this game. Let me see what Andy Dalton's got for a full game before I... And I don't trust Arizona here as road favorites either. All right, that wraps up the Week 6 slate. We're going to give you our best bets now. Shelby, you want to play some sort of best bet sound effect? You have anything you want to scare us with? Is that The Undertaker? I like that. Okay, good.
Is Taco right. Bell coming in for an ad buy?
I like that. It's like The Undertaker's theme song. All right, best bets Week 6. Gary, what do you got?
I came in with two. I added a third. I am going to go Rams -3.5 at 49ers. I'm going to go Lions -3.5 at Jacksonville. And I think I'm jumping on the bandwagon with you guys. I'm going to go Titans -3 versus Houston.
Mitch.
All right. Well, I'm with you on two. I'm also on the Rams -3.5 at San Francisco. And as you just mentioned, the Titans -3 at Houston. My other ones, I told you I love the Packers -2.5 in Tampa. I got to stick with that. And hey, it was the reason we talked about the game so early. Give me the Giants -2.5 against Washington. And I've got six of them this week. Chiefs -3.5 at Buffalo. As I mentioned, anytime I get the Chiefs under a touchdown, I'm likely to take it. And then that Colts Bengals under 47 I'm on as well.
I got five for you. Let me first give a shout out to ESPN's Field Yates. A few minutes ago, he broke the news that Cam Newton has been activated, will be playing Sunday. So one of my best bets now is the Patriots -9.5 with Cam back. And then I got three favorites here of a field goal and a half for you. I've got the Steelers -3.5 against the Browns, the Rams -3.5 with Gary on that one against the Niners. Tennessee is only 3, not 3.5. Again, we have the same one there. I like the Titans over the Texans. And the last one, over 54 in the game of the day, Packers and Bucks. So hopefully we all get over 500 this week and back to our winning ways. That wraps up Week 6 for the MMQB podcast. Thanks to Mitch, Gary, our producer Shelby for the sound effects. And we'll see you next week. Good luck with the wagers.